Welcome to the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry, February 1st, 2026, two-part series, the book of Matthew, the first part, I did Matthew 24, 1 through 7, the beginning now of Matthew 24, I'm going to begin with verse 7 again, rehearse a few things, continue. I'll continue starting in verse 7. Programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com. Two sections, This Present Truth site or the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry site. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez, for both programs. Different podcasts. The This Present Truth podcasts are directed to the general audience, believers, non-believers, anyone who tunes in. The Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs are more specific, more targeted toward the Christian community, and also more in line of Bible prophecy, because we are now in Matthew 24. And to keep your attention, I will mention that later in the chapter, there is indirectly the mention of the United States of America. I feel that you should be aware of this. But later on, in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, the United States of America is heavily involved in the end time prophecies. The book of Matthew, there are specific prophecies that Christ gave the apostles, the disciples, and the prophecy of the temple being destroyed. And with that temple being destroyed physically, in other verses throughout the Gospels, Christ was also indicating had indicated to the disciples that he was going to tear down that temple, or the temple was going to be destroyed and raised up in 3 days, meaning his body, the temple, the physical temple, he would be crucified. And after 3 days, he would be raised from the dead. So this is a thought that the apostles had heard, and they didn't quite understand exactly what the meaning was in Christ's his teachings. But after resurrection, then everything fit. They realized that Israel was not going to be the kingdom on the earth for years to come. The end. This is why the question to Christ from the disciples was, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the world, the end of the age, the end of a dispensation, a period, a 2,000-year period of time? We are there. We are closing out. We believers today in the world are closing out the final prophecies that Christ gave the body of believers through regeneration, through the born-again experience. The care, we are the caretakers of all the prophecies that Christ had presented throughout the Gospels, especially Luke, Mark, and Matthew, and also some in the Gospel of John. We are the caretakers of the prophecies in the time in which we live. Again, this is February 1st, 2026. Christ entrusted us, we believers who are alive today, he entrusted us with his kingdom, with his plan for Israel, for the world, and for the for the family. This has been entrusted into our care, into the hands of the born-again believers. Revelation chapter 1, the seven lampstands. Five unfaithful that are, like I stated in the first part 1, they are dysfunctional. Children are dysfunctional, just in general, until they are raised and trained and educated and given boundaries. They are unruly. They are like feral cats. And the proof is in the five lampstands, starting with Ephesus, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and the final brother of the seven, the young brother, Evangelical Churches of America, which would be the fundamental churches, Baptist along that line, Pentecostal charismatic churches, and also the latest addition to the evangelical churches, the messianic churches that really began their genesis was during the baby boom generation, starting in about 1960. There were messianics prior to that, but not so much in the open. And with the born-again young people, the born-again, the baby boom generation being born again, led by the Lord to bring in the messianic movement with the understanding of the Jewish thinking, the thinking of the apostles and the disciples and Christ himself. To a great part, they add an aspect of Christ's ministry to the body of Christ, which is very important and has been very, very not only important, but has been very fruitful. I'm not saying that within the messianic movements everything is copacetic. There's dysfunctionalism. There is errant theology and practice in the messianic movement, just like within Pentecostal, evangelical, and charismatic evangelical Christianity. Christ's prophecies were more specific for the last generation, beginning with the nation of Israel, at the birth of Israel once again, and then it's like a funnel. It starts to feather into a more tight, narrow path, like looking down railroad tracks. As you look down toward the horizon, the tracks seem to eventually touch. And in the last, I would say, step by step, or I would try to use an example of with each major change within the United States of America or in the world after Israel became a nation, the tracks were beginning to narrow, meaning the time that had passed was meaning that we are getting closer to the time of vital prophecies, clear understanding of God's plan for Israel, for the nations, and for the body of Christ. And here we are now in the last decade. We are, the last decade began on October 7th, 2023. That was the beginning, I believe. That is the point of the beginning of the final decade. Adding 10 years to 2023 in the fall, 2033 in the fall should in the time of the fall of feasts, Christ will make his presence very known. By that time, the War of Armageddon should already be maybe finishing out in the late fall or the early summer when things may begin. Later in the fall, things may be concluded. Things will be concluded, finished. if my interpretation of what happened on October 7th, 2023 is correct, that being the beginning date of the final decade, then this means that we are now roughly in our time, not Israel time, but in our time, we should be probably 7 years and maybe seven, eight months away from that Christ's return. And we possibly are, let's say, seven months out from the tribulation beginning. Now, verse 7 and verse 8, they conclude a period of time known as birth pains and sorrows. I'm going to read the verses and then I'll expound. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in place after place. Will be. There's no option. It will happen. And at some point, there will be international wars, never-ending wars. They have begun. The President of the United States, presently Donald Trump, is trying to bring an end to the conflicts. He will not be able to stop these wars. What he is doing presently is he is just, you might say, holding back the conflict for a little while so that the fires don't just begin to burn out of control, meaning the wars. For the sake of the overcomer children in the body of Christ internationally, and really more so in the United States of America, the Christian body is not ready just yet. It's in, you might say, we are being trained, schooled, educated on what to do for the coming tribulation, for that first day. We'll know roughly the time, what to look for, and we will know the day that it begins and what we are to do when that day begins. But Christ alluded to in verse 8, all of this is but the beginning of early pains, of the birth pains, of the intolerable anguish. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Edition. So what he's saying is he's breaking the book of Matthew apart into segments. This is one main segment. It is the time which is referred to by Christ as the time of birth pains and sorrows. And in the time of birth pains and sorrows, things begin to develop. You might say the ingredients for the coming wars and for the hatred of the ethnic groups, ethnos against ethnos. You begin to see that the hatred with race against race, the plan of nations to cross borders, to attack, to basically annihilate the enemies. So there will be the within, hatred within the countries, again, not just externally, but internally, ethnos against ethnos. There will also be, in a hidden way, but it's here, there will be God hatred. Through other scriptures in the New Testament, there will be a period of time where there will begin to be rebellion against God. The way I can prove that is with the rebellion in the United States, and now, well, I'll stick with the United States, with the protests. This is rebellion. This rebellion is against government. It is instituted government. It is ordained government by God, which should be in the United States, is a better, much better government than the other countries of the world. But there would be rebellion against the laws of the country, of this nation. These people protesting, they are fully aware that they are against the conservative patriot movement. And it's not, it is more directed toward Christian people in the conservative and the, what you call the MAGA movement. It's directed against the Christian people and indirectly against God himself. When you are at war with the Jewish people, it is clear you're at war with God, because the God has promised through the scriptures to protect Israel. Israel has been engraved in the hand of God, and God will always protect Israel from extinction. He may allow nations to punish them, to chastise them, but it's like a like a parent. The parents are they have a duty to discipline their children. But if the neighbor decides to take it upon himself to discipline the child, then they're going to suffer, the neighbor's going to suffer the wrath of the parent. The child may be unruly, but the neighbor has no right to scold or to punish someone else's child. God, as a father to the nation of Israel, who has their hand, that has their name engraved upon his hand, he will protect his children from the neighbors, from the hateful people of the world. And so it is also with the body of Christ, with the seven churches. The world will, according to the book of Revelation and Matthew 24 and Luke 21, and also Mark, I think, 13, the nations will take it upon themselves to punish the children of God that are born again, that have been regenerated and have been washed by the blood of Christ and have become members of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The world will take it upon themselves to kill and cause hardship and distress and anxiety on the born-again churches in the United States of America. It will happen worldwide as well. What about the non-believers in the world? God has his hand upon many of these individuals that are neither Jewish or born-again believers. They are called sheep. He will protect them, because there is a given number of these individuals that will be their sheep, that don't even know God. They don't know about a devil. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in God. This is Matthew chapter 24, the parable of the sheep and the goats. God in the world will protect them also, those that need to be protected from annihilation by the children of the world that are neither Jewish. Well, they might be Jewish. They may be Gentiles that are trying to destroy the people of the world. The poor, they want to disappear the poor, eliminate. They want to bring about a cleansing of the poor, of these people that are uneducated. Just the plan is to, they're, like they call them worthless people that cannot contribute to society, cannot contribute, and will not, well, that the rulers of the world have no use for. They will just be eliminated. They will be culled like sick cattle in a field. Well, God has a duty to protect them also. And he will. Now, in this time of birth pains and sorrows, it is the end of a period of time that precedes, in the next verse, verse 9, it precedes a time of tribulation, of great affliction and tribulation, distress, and also death. So, verse 8 and verse 9 is a separation. It's like a river, like the Mississippi River, cutting the east from the west. And the birth pains, the time of birth pains, I need to discuss this. This is very deep. It's very deep because we are in that time presently. The time of birth pains and sorrows is going to end most likely in the fall of this year. What this means is, just like when Christ was speaking to the disciples on the Mount of Olives, he knew that it was time for his earthly temple, his body, to be destroyed. He was going to be tested, and he was going to be executed. He was going to be nailed to a cross, and he was going to be mocked. And he knew that when that happened, it was going to end something. It's going to end a period of time in mankind's history that would change the world in a fashion that people couldn't imagine. After Christ raised from the dead, that evening, he visited a small group of people in an upper room, and he breathed into them the Holy Spirit. He breathed into them himself as the Spirit, like the pneuma, like the air you're breathing. He just breathed into them, and they received Christ into their human spirit. And now, that night, regeneration had begun. The beginning of a massive regeneration internationally into the future for the last 2,000 years of every tongue, race, tribe, males, females, rich, poor, from every continent of the world, every race. And that night, Christ now dwelt within the individuals. Prior to that night, he had to work from without upon the Jewish people that he'd had his hand on for a couple of thousand years. But he could not fulfill the plan that he had for the nations with Israel because they had proven that they were not, they were rebellious, and they could not, God could not fulfill his plan with them. So he had to bring a blindness upon them so that he could work with the Jewish people that night, the Jewish people in the region in Jerusalem and the area, and then eventually add to the Jewish believers that were born again, the Gentiles. It was a curveball to the Jewish people of the time. It was a curve. It was a knuckleball. It was a it was not understood by Peter when he went to visit Cornelius, who was a Gentile. But Cornelius had prayed, and Cornelius had had a vision and was told to have Peter, a request to have Peter come visit. It was mystifying to Peter because he followed the Jewish laws. And for him to go into a home where there is a Gentile was just foreign. And it caught him later on, too. It took the Apostle Paul and the revelation that God would give him. There had to be a second people, another family, which were not Jewish. And even Paul in Romans chapter 11, verse 25 stated that God would in part bring a blindness upon the people of Israel because of their unbelief, and that God was going to bring in the nations apart from this family that God had selected to carry the godly lineage all the way to Messiah being born. And they did. It was difficult, but God used the Jewish people, and through the Jewish people, through Mary, and the way in which God did it, he was the seed of David, exactly like the scriptures had stated. Many that are listening, it's been a while since you've maybe had kind of a history lesson. And for the new audience, this is a history lesson, so you'll understand that what Christ is doing in Matthew 24, he gave a blip, or just a small visit with the disciples about the temple. And in that visit, he, again, was going to be the temple that would be raised from the dead after 3 years. And then what he would do, pour his spirit into mankind, and mankind now would carry the Shekinah glory, because within Christ was the Shekinah glory of the Father. And now Christ in us, we have and we carry the Shekinah glory in our spirit. And as we are faithful to the Lord to abide in him, then he will use us and transform us to present the Shekinah glory to our families and to our friends and to society. Then he jumps all the way into the future. And he jumps to our time. Now, I did say that the United States is in the book of Matthew. So with verse 8, before I jump into verse 9, which begins the talk of the tribulation, a 3.5-year period of time, then the next prophecy will be the next segment of great tribulation, which will be a 3.5-year period of time. And he makes it clear that this is on the Jewish, the time clock and the calendar of God's prophets given to them through Moses. A day begins at sunset, ends at sunset. 360 days for a year, 30 days to a month. This is the prophetic, the calendar of God's prophets. In the time to come in this country and internationally, all of God's prophets that have been called to the, that have been ordained into ministry, they will use the timetable, the prophetic calendar. And it begins Jerusalem time, not New York, not Colorado, not West Coast. It will all be used Jerusalem time. And so everyone that is working prophetically will watch what happens on the time clock of the prophets, which begins in sundown, begins a new day in Jerusalem. Day begins at sundown and the beginning of the new day. The time of sorrows, as you go backwards, we have to include from our present time all the way back to the time when Israel became a nation. That is beginning Israel's being coming into existence again, was the beginning of the pregnancy. It's a roughly, what has it been now? Going to be 70 plus years. I'd have to think about it. Over 70 years since Israel became a nation, the birth, the conception for the birth pains and sorrows was with Israel becoming a nation. It was a pregnancy. The world was pregnant. Israel was pregnant. The prophecies that would come would begin with Israel. She becomes a nation, and then there are wars. The 67 war, the 73 war, the wars and skirmishes up to the present. Then there was October 7th, 2023. That, I believe, began the final decade before Christ's return. Now, going back prior to that, well, at that point, Israel came into existence because of the vote of the United States of America at the United Nations. We are tied in to Israel. Israel is tied in to us. This was a plan of God, just like Israel in the time of Daniel the prophet, with Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the king of Babylon. Babylon was used to invade Israel, to Jerusalem, to take the captives, the young men, back to Babylon, to build Babylon, to build Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar needed Daniel. Daniel had to be there to interpret dreams for Nebuchadnezzar and for Belshazzar. So God used Daniel to help to scold Nebuchadnezzar, to give him a great prophecy about a great tree. And Israel and Babylon at that time were tied in together. Eventually the time came where I believe it was Cyrus allowed the Jewish people 70 years of captivity. They were to go back to Jerusalem, to the area of their birth. I think it was Cyrus that gave that permission and assisted. If I get triggered here or stumped, I will remember. Nehemiah. Eventually, Nehemiah went back to look at the city to see what damage had been done to the time of their being out of the area. So Babylon and Israel worked together. God worked spiritually with Babylon. Babylon made sure that the young men that were taken to Babylon were taken care of. taken care of, and then returned. They had to return. The United States, because of our country, Israel became a nation. We have to and have worked with Israel. A lot of it has been unholy. It has been unrighteous. But nevertheless, from America, and especially the evangelical churches, or the Laodicean church, for the most part, the other major denominations, they are basically, there's quite a bit of anti-Semitism within the big denominations. They don't have a clear prophetic understanding of where Israel sits in prophecy. But in the evangelical churches, we have a much better understanding of God's plan with Israel. But the thing is this, God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is not in the hands of the nation of Israel. It is in the care of two born-again peoples, just like at the time of Jacob, I'm sorry, at the time of Peter and Cornelius. Peter preaches the gospel to Cornelius. He gets saved in his house. And then from that point forward, then God begins to bring the Gentile people into salvation. Today in America, the Messianic movement, the true Jewish people in the Messianic movement, and the Gentile believers, we are a family. We are according to what Paul writes in Ephesians, he had to address it, the matter of the hostility between the church, within the church, between Jew and Gentile believers. There's hostility, but he says that Paul says that hostility was broken down. There is only one baptism. There is one Savior. In Romans, the book of Romans, Paul had to take the time to explain clearly the role of Abraham and the Jewish people going back to the time of Abraham and the matter, spiritual matter of faith. He had to address it. Then in chapter 9, 10, and 11, he goes back to, again, the matter of the Jewish people and the Gentile people in this new, unique assembly. Jews and Gentiles working together for an eternal purpose, an eternal plan that God had with both. Without both, God cannot finish his plan. Satan gets the victory. The kingdom of heaven has two corporate peoples in it, Gentile and Jew. Two corporate peoples, both with a specific function, with a duty that only they can carry out. As a believer here in this country, I am not going to Israel to preach the gospel and present Messiah to the Jewish people in Israel. I can present the Messiah to them in this country, but I will not go to Israel to do that. That's not my calling. That's not my orders. If not in my orders, I'm not there. There's nothing in my orders that God has given me for that purpose. Now, with the Jewish people that have been here and have been trained and have been educated and have been schooled, they are the ones that are going to and have been going back since the 60s to Israel to preach the gospel like the Apostle Paul or like the Peter and the other initial apostles. Their call was to preach to mainly the Jewish people, not really the Gentiles. Paul was given that commission, Jew and Gentile, but eventually he got so frustrated with the Jewish people because of the hardness of the heart. He said, from hence I go to the Gentiles. Because God had to, his heart was for the Jewish people, his own kinsmen, which is very clear in Romans chapter 9. God had to break him of that because Paul was trained to take the riches that he had in Judaism and the understanding he had about Messiah and the eternal plan of God. He had to take that to the Gentile people. And this is why, for the last 2,000 years, we have had such an impact. We believers in these seven lampstands have had such an impact on the nations and on this country. So America and Israel are tied in together. Many are maybe unhappy. They are basically, there's so much anti-Semitism because of misunderstanding in the body of Christ. There's a great hidden anti-Semitism is being flushed out. And this is the work of God. He is bringing out the hidden attitudes and prejudices of the believer in all the evangelical assemblies. Basically, he has to expose it, bring it out, so it's out in view. I know many of the people on podcasts that I listen to, they are stating that Israel is committing genocide in the Middle East right now. They're not committing genocide. God is using Israel to bring about the prophecies of punishment toward the relatives, like Lot and Moab, the relatives, ancient, and Esau and Ishmael, the family. They're punishing the family members and the hostile nations that have been hostile toward Israel for 3,300, 3,500 years after the children of Israel left the wilderness. The hostility began with Esau and Ishmael. I'm sorry, with Esau and Jacob initially, and it grew, and it has festered for all these years. It is now a hurricane hatred, and God is punishing the children of Esau in the Middle East, Edom, and the nations that have been at war with Israel that are not family members. This is the punishment that God promised to bring upon ancient family members and ancient enemies of Israel. This is not a genocide. In the book of Psalms, chapter 83, that one chapter is the fulfillment of all that Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Isaiah, and Obadiah, Amos, many other prophets. It's the fulfillment of those prophecies, of these prophets that have been given, written down, documented, and we have been delivered to us to read. It's a punishment. God's hand is in it. God promised he would punish the enemies of Israel. And also, he did promise also that he would punish the nations that are unrighteous and godless. Israel will also be punished because Israel has been apostate, and he would also bring chastisements to the body of Christ, which verse 9 is going to be the apostate believers, a lot of them in Matthew chapter 24, 9, they're going to be believers who are not going to understand why some believers would stand with Israel, though we're not Zionists. We do believe true Zionism is in the body of Christ. Israel was promised acreage. That acreage belongs to them. They have a right for it, to it. They are, according to the scriptures, they are to fight for it as at certain times. They are fighting for their acreage right now. Israel is fighting for, and I don't know if Netanyahu realizes what's coming. He's going to have conflict in present-day Jordan, the land of Ammon, Moab, and Edom. And Israel is going to take over that real estate. They're going to purchase that real estate through blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, through war. They're going to inherit it. They're going to take it. The Christian people in this country that don't know the scriptures, the prophetic scriptures, are going to get themselves in trouble with the Lord. When the hardships come, God will not be there to assist them. Paul made it very clear in the book of Romans chapter 11. Be careful. We are branches grafted in. If we aren't careful, we will be also cut off. He's talking about the body of believers. We Christians can be cut off. And there's a big trimming taking place right now. Israel is a root. The fat of the tree is in that root, and it feeds the branches. And we believers have been grafted in. We're a wild olive tree, olive branches. And if we're not careful, we can be pruned out of that, the riches of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 and 8. Now I'm going to go back to Israel became a nation. The pregnancy has begun. Now we have to go back to the beginning of the United States of America, because there is a very important plan of God going back to when the pilgrims came over in that time period. America was a land that the Christian religious people that had no freedom in Europe to express their religion without dying, they needed a place, a refuge. So they came by boat to this country, and there was a beginning, a genesis, where the religious people came, and with them they brought their not only hardship, but also they brought education. They brought business. They brought farming, industry. They brought their gifts and what they had, their occupations and their wealth and their intellect. The men who basically wrote the Declaration of Independence, these men here in this country, we have generally 12 years of education, 4 more years for college. If you're going to be a doctor, you'll have a total of possibly 24 years of instruction. Pretty much all of the signers of the Declaration of Independence had 24 years of education. And this was not the kind of education that we get in America today. That education was top. There was no computer. There wasn't a phone. There was no spell check. They had to do it by hand with candlelight or lamps or in the day. And the kids, they paid attention, because back at that time, the land was pretty difficult. If you had cattle, you had to know how to treat those cattle for diseases without antibiotics. You had to know how to remove the sick from the healthy with your lambs, with livestock, any kind of livestock. The kids, the children, by the time they were 3-4 years old, they had duties. Today, at 30 years of age in America, the children don't have duties. They don't know, they don't know anything except how to get into the basement, turn on their tech, their devices, and go online. America had to become a nation because the United States is in the Bible. And as I do Matthew chapter 24, and I go through these verses, right now we are about to end and split another jump into a new prophetic reality, tribulation. This is the best it's going to get. This country is seen, is experiencing the very, very best. It's not going to get any better. I stated this in the last hour, in the last part, previous program. I have to emphasize this. I am not one of these pastors that believes that God's children aren't going to be chastised. I know that they're not going to suffer some type of hardship. No, we are pilgrims. We are sojourners. We are here temporarily. Everything that we have has been given to us by the Lord, and God can take it from us if He needs to, so that we can mature. That's the purpose of the Christian life. It's a walk to mature. In the Bible, there is a empire. It is a empire like the world has never seen. It is an empire that has everything. It has the best of whatever you want. It has it. Ability to travel, the wealth that is needed to travel, the best as far as buffeting. If you want a buffet, whatever you want, you look at all of the places you can go and buffet and eat. All the fast food restaurants. If you don't want the fast food restaurants, you go to a diner. Whatever you want. We are a unique society, and we are in the Bible. We are an end-time nation that is called a great prostitute in Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 18 refers to this great empire in a different way. It is presented as Babylon the Great of the end times. And in the United States of America, the pastors of the country, they have despised prophecy, and because of that, they cannot give the members in their assemblies the direction that they need for the hardships to come, for the road that we are traveling into the future. The pastors of the land are going to suffer hardship like they have never known, unless they actually decide to betray the Lord and become pastors who will work with the government like the Pharisees did at the time of Christ. There will be these individuals in these major, in the main denominations, yes, but in the evangelical churches, already many pastors already are working with the government. They are had been recommending to their congregations to get the vaccinations, to turn in their rifles, their guns, to make sure that they are compliant with every law in the land. And the pastors have not trained God's children to abide in the vine, to follow the anointing, to walk in spirit, pray in spirit, worship in spirit. They have taught them how to enjoy the week and be productive, come back, listen to a good sermon, go out to dinner, lunch, and bring their kids to Christian schools. But they've missed the main most important part of the Christian walk, prophecy. That is why God, when John was late in his years, God gave him a vision that he documented and gave it to the churches. And in that documentation, the book of Revelation, Christ was specifically detailing what would happen at the end in general, and what would happen in the first half of the tribulation, the second half of the tribulation, when those 7 years are finished, the judgments that would come upon the world, the wrath that God would begin to chastise the nations with. After the tribulation, the most important thing for the Christian people, the resurrection. There's only one resurrection, and it occurs after the tribulation is over. Then the destruction of this empire in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. There, it's the same empire. It's the same exact end-time empire. It's phrased Babylon the Great in Revelation 18. In chapter 17, it is called the great prostitute that causes fornication with the nations of the world in her filthiness, in her vile as a vile, vile creature, a nation of witchcraft, a nation of every sort of evil. So these two chapters identify the great empire going back to 1600s. This nation, at its beginning, God said this nation would be great. This nation would be like no other nation. And we can see the development from its birth, childhood, the teen years, to the productive years, to the corrupt years, all the way through maturity. At the end, because of the refusal to believe the commandments of God and to follow the moral principles of the New Testament that Paul presented very clearly to the countries of the world, it becomes decrepit and it is a curse to the world, and it will be above all things, an enemy of God himself. It began initially in our birth. We were a golden cup used by God for wonderful things. At its end, in the cup is everything filthy, everything ungodly, unholy, corrupt. There is no, it's polluted. It's unhealthy. There's nothing good that can actually come out of the country, because all that's going to come is destruction and a hatred of the children of God, of the born-again people of Israel, and the citizens of the country that will not yield to the wishes of the society, of the government. And many churches will work, even the evangelical churches will work will work with the government. And the pastors, because they don't know prophecy, are basically going to turn their congregations over to a beast. And that's what it is eventually referred to, a beast. Something that is a beast country. In her shall be a hold of every foul bird and hateful spirit. In other words, it's clear that it will become a satanic country, a nation of witchcraft, from the government through the whole society, from the governments at the federal, state, county, city. It will become a nation that has been just like the Canaanites, turned over completely to every kind of demonic activity and demon possession. So, okay, I'm trying to get through the time of birth pains and sorrows. I'm going to continue in the next part 3. It's too important. I can't rush it. You need to see what is coming. Again, the website, thispresenttruth.com. Thispresenttruth.com. My contact information is Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. If you can support me, I would appreciate it. I would say whatever the Lord might put on your heart, be obedient. But for now, God bless you. God bless you in the mightiest way. May God give you the grace you need for what is to come. God bless you. Talk again.